You are listening to the Essence of Change podcast, a conversation where transformation happens, with your co-hosts Omar Ben Moussa and Dr. Keith Blevins. Here is the second episode.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is a new episode of the Essence of Change podcast with my co-host, Dr. Keith Blevins. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Good to nice to here. See you. Yeah. Yeah.
As good always. To
yeah. Yeah.
So we actually were reflecting on what we could title this episode, and what we came up with is what's causing stress or what's causing our suffering needlessly. And the reason why we came up with this title is because most of us suffer needlessly almost every day on a daily basis. And it will be a really interesting conversation to explore what could be causing that feeling of suffering. And how can we go beyond that and find a peaceful mind or come back to the present moment?
Yeah. 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 Which I think that's an interesting phenomena. You know, it's a phenomena that happens to everyone that I know. And the what of it, it is unique. Like you mentioned earlier when we were talking about this, that there was something to do for you. You got really lost in when you were talking to your accountant, and I got really lost. Let's see. Well, I spoke to a friend. A friend called me just out of the blue, and he's been a client, and I could tell immediately, you know, and he wanted to talk to me about his son and. Well, he was with his two grandsons, and then his son called him after the grandsons went back to the dad, and the dad called and said, why did you treat my son so badly? And the grandfather was like, I did? You know, like what? Well, he said that you called him fat, and I never called him fat, and I don't know why my son would call me about that. But I could tell that his mind was just full of disappointments about his son and his grandson and being falsely accused. But I mean, that's why he called me, because his head was filled up with stuff, you know? And the details, like as he talked about them, it had all kinds of tentacles, you know, like it had a history and my son, and he calls me, but he doesn't want me to say anything. So I don't say anything. He calls me every day, but he won't allow me to, it's not a give and take. And that's disappointing to me, but it was just all kinds of issues, you know. It was just full of issues, and his mind was full of issues. And I said, well, you know, your mind is full of issues, and this is the way it looks when you're lost. It looks like all those things really matter, and they're all part of the big deal that is wrong, and you want to hammer them out. You want to talk about them. And you call, you know, and I'm glad he called me rather than, you know, well, he kind of lost it with his son. This is just an example, but it's just, he's a good friend of mine, and a client, but that happens. That goes, those kinds of things happen to me too. Like I get, and it might last for, you know, a little while, or it might last longer, but I get things on my mind, and I get kind of tangled up with them. I get serious. I get gripped. You know, I get I get lost in the details. And then and now, as I mentioned to you earlier, right now, I couldn't care less about that happens to me. Like, it's like, yeah, that happens to me. It happens to people, but it doesn't matter to me. That the what of it right now has no teeth. It's like it doesn't have any teeth in it. You know, it's like, well, that's understandable. People get messed up. They get something on their mind and they get messed up about it. Now, sometimes there's the very same things will happen and they don't get messed up about it. But that's fascinating that to me that happens to us. And I just thought it might be worth, you know, chasing it around the barn a little bit or talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is really interesting subject because I found myself sometimes, you know, really caught up. And, you know, like in my head, like as I told you earlier today, I spoke with my accountant and I had all this, you know, thought about it, like how much money I'm going to make this year and how much money I would have to pay for, you know, for my tax. And I was just getting more lost, you know, and all of a sudden, like I was feeling good. Then all of a sudden I was just feeling really bad.
Yeah.
So
you were suddenly gripped, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like you know, like seeing something and then it caught your eyes and then you give it all your attention and focus. Yeah. And this is the way I see my thinking. Like if I give it all my attention and focus, I'll just breathe more life into that, whatever that is that I have in my mind at that moment.
Yeah.
And so what's happened is that, like, I was lucky enough to see that I was doing it. And then, as I told you, I was in a coffee shop and then, you know, the guy came and brought me my beautiful Americano. I enjoy Americano. And then I was like, well, let me enjoy my coffee first.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden I was just absorbed, you know, enjoying my first sip of coffee. And, you know, like I just popped out of that, you know, suffering state.
Yeah.
And so what happens, like, it didn't really matter what I was thinking.
Yeah.
About like me trying to figure out about paying all those stuff and, you know, how much money I'm going to make, etc.
Yeah.
Because my suffering really looked like, before having my first sip, really looked like it was coming from figuring out those things.
Then,
you know, like, when I saw myself doing that to myself, I kind of popped out and I really saw that what I was really experiencing here is not from like what I'm imagining in my head. It was coming from the story and the meaning I was giving to what was in my head.
Mm.
And that's completely different.
Mm. Mm.
And this is what's so good about, you know, exploring the essence of change, that it is really a thought-generated experience. And I was experiencing my experience in a coffee shop using my thinking, and I was misusing them for a bit.
Mm.
And then I got lucky, and I saw that I was misusing this gift. Mm. And so it's been really helpful to kind of just, you know, like just pop out of it, not willingly, because like if I'm sure like if I wanted to do this and force myself to do it, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. Right. But something rescues you. Something, I don't know, yeah. Something occurs. Something. It's like, oh, you know, it's the aha moment or the, I don't know, but something will, like you said, pop, you popped out of it, or, you know, people, I don't know, you just realize, oh, that it kind of like, oh, never mind all that. But that happens to us is really quite interestingly power. It's powerful. It's a powerful change. So our mind changes, but it's almost like it feels funny to say, well, I changed my mind. It's like, no, my mind changed. Like it kind of like was like a little miracle or something. Like, you know, the guy brought me the coffee and I was like, he was really pleasant or whatever. And I thought, well, wait, I'll just enjoy my coffee. You know what? Like, it's hard to account for it by the story, you know, but it's a change. Your mind changes. And then you're kind of back, like as we're talking about it here, like it could change in other ways too, I guess. But that's an interesting thing. But to know that's thought is what is constitutes that, and that it's capable of that is a really I don't know, you have to appreciate that fact. I mean, wow. I mean, it seems like a little thing. Yeah, guy's in a coffee shop and he's thinking about taxes, and then his head clears, you know, and then he's not. It goes from being front and center to being disappearing, you know, or in my case too, or this grandfather, you know, but he had to kind of talk to. He lives a long way away, but he can, you know, telephone is really easy to call, and so I sing him a few bars on that phenomena. And because I could hear it. It had all these, it had the past in it and things that he hadn't really been able to get sorted with his son. And he just, I'm not like that. And he doesn't like me being the way I am. And I don't know whether I could live with that or not. And I said, look, you're just, in a way, you know, there's that old phrase of you're making mountains out of molehills, you know, like, believe me, on another day in another state, this is not going to look like it's the end of the world. And now I could see that about him and offer that observation. And he trusts me and he likes me and he loves me. So he gave me a full measure of his listening. He listened and he said, thank you. And I said, well, you're welcome. And I've got to go too. And that was the end of it. So, and that was a 10-minute call. But wow, it's just interesting that we get that happens to people. I can't help but think sometimes in the throes of those the illusions of that, people make life-changing decisions sometimes. I mean, they, like, he was ready to call his son and say, that's it, I'll never take the grandkids anywhere anymore, and don't, or whatever, you know. I mean, he was really on the brink of doing something like, he's going to regret that. Like, this is the grandkids only 11 and 12 years old, you know, they, you know, my grandkids are dead to me should not be the conclusion that you would think about in a clear head. Like you realize, oh, well, that's a grandkid. He's 12. He gets upset about things all the time. Like, you know, I shouldn't really throw gasoline on this fire. But fortunately he had a friend to call, you know, but sometimes you don't have a friend and sometimes you're alone at night and sometimes there's a loaded gun there, you know, or whatever, you know, I mean, there's times when people don't, they're not really very good about knowing that this is a, you know, a kind of a temporary insanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like sometimes it looks to me that it's not temporary. Like, yeah, I don't know what happened today. Like there is no like shortcut to this. Like it's not a technique that I did to actually pop out of that kind of thought. But I got lucky to some extent because it was short, because it could go for an hour or more. But the beauty of understanding the essence of change, and it's seeing that all our experiences in life are thought-generated experiences, and each moment we experience what we think about is a game changer. It really is. It really stopped this needless suffering of that experience we are having in that moment. And it kind of take you even deeper to see that, are you really suffering because of, you know, your son said this to you? Or are you really suffering because the meaning you gave to it? I mean, I would understand a father defending his kids, you know, and trying to understand what, you know, what his dad did with his kids. And so if I don't really see that my son is just trying to, you know, understand what's happening here, and it's not because of that he has something on me, or maybe he's just in his thinking as well, and he cannot really see what's happening here. And so in this situation, maybe he would have more understanding. Maybe he wouldn't take this so seriously. He wouldn't take it in. And there is this famous saying that if you don't take offense, you won't get offended. It's exactly the same thing here. If he didn't take offense, he wouldn't get offended. Like if I didn't make a thing out of what that conversation I had with my accountant, and you know, I went, you know, daydreaming and suffering and trying to imagine the outcome of something that I don't know. Like I don't even know what's gonna happen in a minute from right now.
It's less the taxes that are going to happen in a year and a half from now or whatever, you know, like it all looks ridiculous to you when it doesn't, you know, but at the time you're right, it doesn't at the time you don't know that it's, you don't see it for what it is, you're blind, you're kind of blindsided by it. It's fascinating. But I think you're right too. If you understand the general nature of mental life, and that's the way it works, it kind of it's kind of like changing the channels on your television or something. Like, oh, that, I don't know, this is a boring movie, or this I've seen this before, or whatever, you know, and you could turn it off, or you could change the channel or whatever. And it's no big deal. It's like, it's over, you know, and that memory of that movie or that program or whatever is it was there and then gone. But what an interesting life we lead that we have these images and these experiences. You know, we have experiences, don't we? We have thought experiences all the time. Every moment is a thought experience. But that's what it is.
Sometimes we get seduced by a thought, then another thought, and then you know, and then we think, oh, this might be the exception. Like, I'm not experiencing my thinking here. I'm experiencing what I'm thinking about.
Yes.
And this is where all these feelings are coming from.
Yes. And then it kind of sets up camp. You know, it sets up a whole, it's like you're stuck on a channel or something like that. And you're in this rut and you just, and it can go on and on and on.
Absolutely. And the beauty of really seeing where this is coming from in the first place and like understanding like how our experience is formed, etc. It really wouldn't make sense once you pop out of that kind of thought, because it's gone.
Like, correct.
It doesn't have to follow you over and over again.
Correct.
But I might imagine a question of someone listening to this saying that, what about this thought that I have in my mind often that stresses me out? What about that?
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, what about that?
You know, yeah. For me, like, the way I see this is just we have a fresh new thought every moment. Like, even the thought that it seems like it's coming back to you, it's a new thought with a different meaning. Like, we add to it. We either add to it or we see it for what it is. And like, adding to it is like, this is where I see like this, it seems like this thought is coming again. And I can't get rid of that because it's from the past. I had a traumatic experience and this and that. And this is something that we will go into in future episodes about traumatic experiences and past experience, any experience that is seen as traumatic and. We'll be more talking about that, but like, suffering, we do this to ourselves. Like, we suffer needlessly, innocently.
To touch upon it, and I know we'll go into this more, but like, there's always that there's something else at work here. Wherein it's called, and what it's called in the literature is called resilience, is that people can forgive, people can recuperate, people can, and they do, that's a natural part of the human experience, no matter what has happened. And that's not really, we don't really know enough about that, but we don't honor it. We don't really factor it in. We factor into the lifelong scars and the issues and the trauma, et cetera. But the truth is there's something about reset that happens. It maybe it doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't happen in every instance, but it's built in that to the nature of the phenomena of mental life that you forgive and forget. And just think about how many different things you've already, how many offenses have you already been offended by? Like you mentioned earlier, in order to be offended, you have to first take offense. But even in those instances where you took offense, how many of those instances that you were offended then do you now still hold? Very, very, very few of them. You've let millions of those instances go, and you couldn't bring them back if I paid you a dime for every one of them. There's no way you would get any cash value out of that, because it would be really impossible to conjure them back up again. So what the cleansing, the recuperation, the change. It's wonderful. Like, thank goodness we don't have to carry with us all of that baggage or all of that. I mean, it just leaks out of the bottom of the bag or something. It's like you didn't even notice it. You think, oh yeah, that's gone. Oh, that's gone. That's gone. That's gone. Like there's so many things that have disappeared. But that's the beauty of mental life. It has this regenerative start over from scratch-ness about it. That is fundamental to it. That is absolutely fundamental to it. It happens all the time to us. But we don't really, I don't know, we don't, well, I, you know what it is? I don't think we can take credit for it, because I don't think we think it up and sew it up in a nice little package and then burn it. Like sometimes people will burn a love letter that they got years ago, or they've been still ruminating on or whatever. But I don't think that's the bare, tiny, littlest part of it. I think it just, and thank goodness, a person or a religious person might say, thank God, or what? Thank God that we could, that change happens. It's just an amazing thing that we don't have to carry forward. I was reading in this magazine yesterday about two tribes in Africa, and these tribes, these boys have been friends, and then they wound up being enemies, and one man killed the other man's mother when war broke out, and there was a tribal thing, and now this man is standing with this other tribes person, and they're saying, and they've gotten over it, a murder. Like, what hasn't been forgiven? What hasn't been let go of? And I don't think that, I think that's it's divine providence or something. We don't take credit. We shouldn't take credit for it. Not for the bulk of it. It's just gifted.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful gift. Like holding grudges is the way to suffering, really, and to keep suffering. I mean, forgiveness is essential to change. Because when you forgive, and forgiveness is not like just, okay, I'm okay with what this person did to me, but forgiveness is really letting go. It's basically, it's essential for your well-being. Like you cannot be happy and not forgiven. Like to fully forgive someone is to start from scratch, like nothing happened. Like that's true forgiveness.
Yeah. It seems like it's a kind of a matter of the heart or something, isn't it? I mean, true forgiveness, when you go in there and it's like you just flush the whole, all those nooks and crannies of resentments and hurt and pain and judgment and all that, it just disappears.
The beauty of this is that when we truly forgive, like we completely change. We completely change. Like I remember this client of mine, and she really, like, we were talking about thoughts and how it's related to her experience, etc. And she started getting glimpses of that. And I remember one day she told me, "Omar, can I ask you something?" And I said, "Sure." Like, and she went on, "So this is a friend of mine who was out with other friends of mine. And, you know, and she sent me a picture of them out. And she said to me that we texted you and you didn't come. And when I checked back on my phone, there was no text. But I didn't get upset. I really didn't get offended. Like, I didn't think about it in any upsetting way.
She didn't take normal? Offense. Yeah.
So that was her question. Is this normal? I was like, this is like I've never heard this question before.
Yeah.
But what came out of my mouth next is, you know what? What's not normal is taking offense and keep upsetting ourselves over these kind of matters. That's not normal. This is absolutely normal. Like when we were babies, we wouldn't take offense over anything. We just get, you know, we have tantrums and then we get over it.
Yeah.
And then we are from a second to another, like we change moods and we get over things quickly. Because that's who we truly are. That's our essence. That's our birthright. We have this capacity to forgive, truly forgive, and resiliency.
Yeah.
To be back again to the game of life and not suffer from stressful thinking and suffering needlessly. Do you have anything to say, Keith, before we end this beautiful conversation?
I think this is good. You know, the miracle of change, the whatever that is, thank goodness the tapes can be erased. Wow.